On this Pentecost Sunday, as we, as Ina read for us that passage of Scripture from Acts chapter 2, I don't know if you've ever really listened carefully to the words of what's actually going on there, trying to picture in your mind what a surreal experience that would have been. But I was looking at the words and just saying, what exactly is it saying that happened there? And it starts off by saying, there was the sound of a mighty rushing wind. It doesn't say there was a wind. There wasn't anything blowing around. There's no dust in the eyes, none of that. Just this sound of a mighty rushing wind. And the scripture that Ina chose to read from talks about the roar. And you've heard people giving testimony when a tornado was coming that it sounds like the roar of a train that's just going to work its way through a house. So, I mean, this is a powerful sound that they heard, and yet there was apparently no actual wind in the room. The second thing it describes is that there were over every participant, it wasn't just the disciples, it says that all the believers were gathered, so there was a number of people there, and it says that tongues of fire rested over each one of them. And ever since I was a kid, I imagined, what would a tongue of fire be? You know, it'd be about this big. And it's kind of like, you know, instead of having a light bulb over your head, this just little flame right there. And sometimes you get these pictures where someone's trying to capture what was going on. And that's what they draw, a tongue, just a little lick of fire, if you want to call it that. But I'm not sure that's what it was. Every time you hear the word tongue or read the word tongue in this passage, it's talking about a language, speaking in a different tongue, a different language. The actual word is glossa, which we get our word glossary from, so it's words. And so somehow there's a visible manifestation of words in different languages. And I was trying to think, okay, what would that look like? And so I imagine for the Persian language, let's say, you have the word Persian written in Persian script, written in flames, hovering over a person who's going to get Persian, okay? So for every language, there's the language in a script written in flames, and to me, that makes more sense because that's what's actually happening. We have this physical manifestation, this physical manifestation of languages, and then you have the actual manifestation of languages. That's the third thing that happens, that someone started speaking Persian all of a sudden, and someone else was speaking a different language. And when you pay attention to the context of this description, what's happening in the room, when you pay attention to the context of what Jesus said immediately before this and what happens immediately after this, I think you can come to the conclusion that God's intention at Pentecost was this: to overcome the language barriers to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. To overcome the language barriers to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8, Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so with the coming of the Holy Spirit, and specifically with the gift of languages, one of the barriers to global evangelism has been removed. And on this day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit did something that was utterly amazing to both the people who were in the room and the people who were outside, because all of them heard the sound of this rushing wind, even though there was no wind. They were all drawn to this. Verse 7 of chapter 2 says that they were amazed and astonished at what was going on. And verse 8, they were all asking this question: how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? That's what stood out to them. The sound of the wind and this question of how are we all hearing them in our own language? And I suspect that this display of languages was even more impressive than the words that were being spoken that day. That the display of languages was more impressive and amazing to the people that were there than the words that were being spoken. Now, having said that, I think the words that were being spoken were also really important. Because the message that they were all speaking in these languages was about the mighty works of God. And so chapter 2 lists people from 15 different geographical regions. 15 different geographical regions, 15 different languages, and their common testimony, their common experience was this, coming out of verse 11, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. That's what all of these people were talking about. That's what all the disciples, all the believers that were filled by the Spirit were speaking in different languages, but they're all telling their own story of the mighty works of God in their life. So what was so compelling about the Pentecost experience? Was it the individual stories of the mighty works of God? Or was it that they were being spoken in these many different languages? And it seems to me that the answer is both. As each person in the upper room told their unique story of the mighty works of God, the Holy Spirit empowered that story with the gift of languages, and that combination is what made this day so special. And I think it's this simple observation that reminds us that your story and my story of the work of God in our lives is a really important part of evangelism. The Holy Spirit chooses us, individuals, and our story. And then he adds the empowering of the Holy Spirit, creating a fresh and new, quote, mighty work of God. Jesus actually preordained this strategy of global evangelism when he said, don't leave Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. So whatever it is you have to say, whatever you want to testify about what God's done in your life, wait for the Holy Spirit. Doing it on your own will not work. And so this gives us this clear observation, I think, from this passage that God and Jesus have called us to play an important part of proclaiming the gospel, that our story is part of the deal, that Pentecost was not just about the Holy Spirit, it's about our partnership with the Holy Spirit. And our part in this partnership is to tell our own story of the works of God in our lives. Last week, we wrapped up our equipping piece where we've been talking about how do we tell our story. And if you weren't here, I'd strongly encourage you to just go back and listen to the teaching from last week. And then also on the ACE this week, there was an insert in there that you can do. And I really want to encourage you to do the work of learning your story. And it does take work to pray and to listen to God and to go in your own heart, what's my heart story? Because if we're going to be empowered to tell our story, we need to have a story to tell. And so we've been talking about the gospel of the kingdom and how it intersects with the story of our lives, the heart story of our lives, the deeper issues of our heart. And so again, I want to encourage you to do the work of preparation on that. Today, though, we're not going to tell that heart story. That's not the story I want to ask you to share this morning. Today, I want to ask you to just think about and share a smaller story. Stories of what God has been doing in your life during this season from Easter to Pentecost. Prayer, fasting, and equipping. These three things, what has God been teaching you? And so let me give you just again these two settings that we'll take some time right now to share this in. During your time of fasting, quite often when we're fasting, when we're spending time with God over an extended period of time, and we're asking God, you know, reveal my heart, here, take my heart and show me what my anxious thoughts are and lead me into something new. He actually does that. That there's something that comes up in our lives where God is saying, okay, here's an area of your life that I want to speak to you about. And you may have an experience like that where God has done something in your life over these past 7 weeks of fasting. Or second, you might want to share a story of how you're stepping into the behaviors, the practices of blessing the people around you. Again, beginning with prayer, listening to their story, how important that is, eating and drinking together. The first S is for serving them or serving with them on a project. And then finally, this blessing of relationship, developing depth of relationship, will give us the opportunity to share our heart story. But again, that heart story has to be ready. We have to be ready with it. So is there something that God has done in your life during the course of the fasting, something he's been teaching you, or is there perhaps something you can share about how you're blessing someone else and just how God is creating opportunities for that in your life?